why and why they can't accept that. So that's why it's kind of, it was kind of advertised as a Vendor Forest to begin with. And then now it's just pretty much Stop Cop City, because it's, if you, and Injustice for Tortuguita, Defend the Forest, Stop Cop City, in that order, right? Because quite frankly, Tortuguita was executed extrajudicially, right? As a political activist and eco-activist. And to bring attention to that is powerful with all the BLM stuff, with all the people like Tyree Nichols and everything, right? Because it's sensitive in people's minds. Justice for Tortuguita, Defend the Forest, you get a bunch of liberals in. Stop Cop City. It's the only way to do all of it.
We have a weapon more powerful than the British Empire. And that weapon is our refusal to bow to any order but our own. Any institution but our own.
You know, just trying to speak on behalf of the autonomous, anti-organized horizontal movement that is Defend the Forest, Stop Cop City, and is now just pretty much grown to be a complete, you know, damn near internationally representative, anti-police terror, anti-state repression movement in support of LGBTQ POC and anybody searching for freedom from oppression, specifically from the state, which is the root of all oppression in many of our eyes. So, you know, not to disclude the more state-based socialist comrades that are out here helping us, and even like anybody who's out here showing support and solidarity, you know, not to speak against them, but quite frankly, the majority of this movement is built up of some form of anarcho-socialist individuals, the people who are really in it, really doing the work. So that's what I'm trying to here speak on behalf of, and to give some light to this, to the recent news that came out last night of my close friend Tortuguita's execution, which is something I knew from the jump in my heart, but to have the evidence now is enraging. I'm happy to speak with y'all.
But before we get into all of it, before what Stop Cop City is, we need to talk about what Cop City is. So why don't we get into what exactly is going down there?
Primarily, I will say that in my experience, been in and out, really just doing as much as I can with this movement since back in around 2019, it was radicalized, and and I instantly got into activism, eco-activism specifically, and then into anti-fascist activism, and those circles are the same. So I learned through the grapevine of what it was, but then while getting a degree, so I was able to really study these things. So that really the movement itself started as Defend the Forest, because primarily it was advertised as that, because you say Defend the Forest to a bunch of liberals and they're like, yay. If you say Stop Cop City to a bunch of liberals, they're like, right? So, and I think it was really meant as a movement that was trying to bring attention to the eco problems, but it was trying to take advantage of the way that it appears to people to really tackle the problem of the Cop City being built there in this huge training, like state repression training facility. Because back then, I mean, though, you know, it was 2019 or kind of going into 2020, like, and this has been around a little bit longer than that, but like that's when it really kind of started to pop off, because that's when people started to question things. And even then, though, there was a little bit more, I would say, like hesitation on being like, well, the government's bad. You know, like, well, this is the best we have, is what a lot of people will say. You know, I'm a Democrat, I'm a liberal, I believe in taxes and stuff. But it's, and a lot of people are still there. I myself on many levels. But I think over time, people have started to witness that it is the state function in general that is the problem. And it is police state terror that keeps that the problem. And they really do not understand what police do here. And so many people don't, right? But and the cognitive dissonance that I study really goes into that, like why and why they can't accept that. So that's why it was kind of advertised as a Vendor Forest to begin with. And then now it's just pretty much Stop Cop City, because it's, if you, and Injustice for Tortuguita, Defend the Forest, Stop Cop City, in that order, right? Because quite frankly, Tortuguita was executed extrajudicially, right? As a political activist and eco-activist. And to bring attention to that is powerful with all the BLM stuff, with all the people like Tyree Nichols and everything, right? Because it's sensitive in people's minds. Justice for Tortuguita, Defend the Forest, you get a bunch of liberals in. Stop Cop City. It's the only way to do all of it. If you stop Cop City, you do Defend the Forest, and you do get justice for Tortuguita. And then you get justice to Tortuguita, just like Marcos represents Marcos represents revolutionaries around the world who stand up for LGBTQ rights and rights from and freedom from oppressive governments, right? Well, and oppressive systems of capitalism. Well, Tortuguita represents the same thing, but also like anti-repression from state governments murdering people and specifically the police. And that is something that can get a lot of people on board, especially now that the evidence has come out that the bullet holes came through both hands, you know, with hands up in the cross-legged position, you know. And I have a lot more to speak on about that with Tortuguita and how I knew that they didn't do it from the beginning, but we'll get into that later. But yeah, that's really Stop Cop City is going to be, well, Cop City itself is going to be the biggest training facility for police in the world. The Israeli Defense Force is already on contract to be the main instructors of the police, and it won't just be Atlanta police, it will be police from around the country coming here to train, as well as, and also, like, major military contractors, like former Blackwater, now Academy, individuals like that are going to be coming here and living here to train police.
There's a history of blood on the land where it's being built. It's the location is both involved with the Trail of Tears, and it was once a prison slave commune. Well, you know, they have that carve out in the amendment where it says you can, slavery is legal if you're a prisoner. Well, this location used to be one of those. It used to be a commune where prison slave labor was used. Not only an institution of genocide, but also slavery is where this place is being built.
I came all the way on the Trail of Tears to deliver this letter to you folks.
This is also, so yesterday, I've gotten really tight with a lot of the indigenous activists that have come from around the world to be here. One of them got arrested the other day. There's indigenous activists from around the world, but specifically the Muskoki Creek individuals who are from this, or this is their home here. This is their home. Wilani was the sacred forest of their land. And to understand that, and then to know that yesterday in a press interview, to Andre Dickens, they said, "Yo, we are here and we are claiming our land. We are evicting you from our land." And Andre Dickens turned around and ran away. Andre Dickens is the mayor of Atlanta. Turned around and ran away. Left. Was like, "Fuck, shit, I don't know how to respond to that. Oh, you guys didn't prepare me for these questions. I'm a bitch. Bye." You know? And that's literally what happened. And this is a movement that's on a different scale because you have indigenous activists coming from around the world to support it. You have people coming from around the world to support it. There was a Canadian protester and a French protester that was arrested in the 23 on Sunday, right? In charge of domestic terrorism, right? So there's, and then most of the people were from out of state because they don't want to, they could have arrested so many people from the state, but they saw their ID, let them go, right? Because they're like, you guys are from Atlanta, you guys are from Georgia. We want people to think that no locals support this, when in all reality, it is predominantly locals. And most of the locals support this movement, right? Almost all of them, especially in Gresham Park itself, where the forest is located. I know because I speak to them and we build consensus and I go to the meetings and I go to the community meetings. Like, I mean, these, like even the old, you know, Martin Luther King, nonviolent civil justice protests, you know, like individuals and old, like old women and whatnot that are usually at these community meetings. They're like, "Oh no, the cops are literally just training to kill people." they know, and they don't want this because even if they did believe that it would train the cops, they also know the detriment it's going to bring to their own home that they've in the place they've lived their entire lives, with flooding and with eco. It's essentially eco genocide. Not essentially, it is eco genocide, and it's eco racism on massive scales. Southeast Atlanta is one of the most heavily populated with African Americans and just like Black people in general in the United States. To build something like this in a city in the United States, which is the most monetarily unequal nation in the world ever in history right now. And, you know, more and more money is just getting created in thin air and on a computer as a number. And that just comes down to the United States being the most monetarily unequal statistically in the world. And Atlanta is the most monetarily unequal city in the most monetarily unequal nation in the world.
If you'll bear with me for a moment, I'm going to bring you into my world so that you can acknowledge the spiritual landowners of these territories, so that you can acknowledge everything that my relative just shared about these homelands that our Muskogee people call. But to do that, I'm going to say this in my language and I'll translate afterwards. Momen hayoma, bomajilagadadit, yanabogadit. Aha githi chagis, ano gitska iaskida asak kwechka Itamochagidat. O Hagathajit. Istaja Delga in Hadajitskat. Abo got it. Ahakivit. Chayofan. In Fulidan Madan. O Hagasamit. Fulipkas. Istamusko Galgi. Fulagan. Athakwajit. Fulidois. In this time, let us take this moment to remember the ancient ones who lived in this very area. Let us be mindful of the love, respect, and humbleness they had for all people and for this land that gives us water and food. As we become more mindful of these first Native American people, may we live in the same manner. I share these words in our Muscogee language because it's appropriate, because our ancestors lived here for over 13,000 years. And if you're to do the math correctly, this country that we now call the United States is somewhere in the neighborhood of 240.
Get frustrated a lot. It's like drugs do exist to justify a function of the police state, but at the same time, almost everyone believes that we need drug enforcement to begin with. Okay, if people think that it's like some DEA, like bigger Illuminati plot, and it's like, no, it's just people. Like, you know, like you have to change a lot of society if you want to get there. It's not something that is like go overnight. That Aaron Sorkin guy, every solution in his shows is just like somebody gives a speech that's really good and it saves the world.
And that's my point right there. It's not cultural, because culture is something that we socially construct. It is populist, because populism is what creates culture, and it's what creates our agenda and our connection to nation states and our attachments to laws and social constructs of this form and gender. And I think that, quite frankly, as somebody who studied social movements and the propaganda behind them, that is the essence of it, is populism. And that is why anti-state movements at this point, with the connection that we can make to the world through things like this, through Twitter, through everything, you know, as we saw with the Arab Spring and moving forward, like this anarcho-syndicalist movements, democratic confederalism, neo-Zapatismo-esque movements, places like Freetown Christiania, like these are places that can easily be successful now, because of the connection we have and because of the ability to make an app that is encrypted and only controlled by you with like coding like Bitcoin or something like that. That is, and if it changes, you instantly know, right? And to make that app the voting direct democracy app and consensus app of Gresham Park, right? And then when we have that, we have full proof that we voted on, every single human being here voted and agreed that this is what we're going to do, and we don't want fucking Cop City. And if you come in here and you try to do it, then you're not democratic. Bottom line, a representative democracy isn't democratic in the first place. It's a four-year authoritarian that you vote in and then doesn't have to do shit that you say. But the bottom line is...
You know, lawyers have a stereotype where there's like no good lawyer. You know, like lawyers can help you out of a lot of shit, and so can politicians. The legal mumbo jumbo, like I couldn't represent myself in court, you know? It's not the existence of lawyers and politicians that it's the problem. It's the institutions that are built up around them.
And quite frankly, those they're made because of the institutions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even those parties, even the people that are elected in those parties aren't democratic. I mean, it's still a voting for an authoritarian, because it's somebody who says you have two choices. Better hope for the best. And you can't say shit after you make a choice for us. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing, it's the good cop, bad cop. Literally, it's like, do you want to go to jail with some cookies, or do you want to go to jail and get beat up by neo-Nazis? And by neo-Nazis, I mean us. Yeah. So that's your two choices. And it's like, people are starting to realize that on a massive scale, and they're looking for something different. And the thing is why this is getting so much backlash, why we're called domestic terrorists when we're just eco protesters to begin with. And also with it, you know, at the beginning, it was somewhat of a guise. You know, and we do care about the environment greatly, and we do want to save it. We want to stop environmental racism. We want to do all this. We want to save the fucking forest. But the bottom line is we want to do that primarily. I mean, there's bigger forests in other places. And because people come up to me in Atlanta all the time, and they're like, oh, the Stop Cop City thing, like, do you think you can succeed? And I mean, I know you guys just care about the animals and shit, but you don't care about human lives. I'm like, bro, you got it all fucked up. This is the reason we're doing it, and we have to advertise it. Like, I mean, we care about animals, we care about the forest, but primarily we care about the fact that police are fucking murdering people, and this is going to be the biggest state repression training facility in the entire world.
The early reporting, all I would hear was forest defenders, and I was like, this is for the liberals.
And, you know, and also, that's the thing, is another reason why people won't say this is because it brings a lot more backlash, and it brings Homeland Security to town raiding houses like they did this morning. It gets at protesters executed in cold blood. And then the most influential people in the movement, like my buddy Tortillita, and like, quite frankly, I'm scared of, You know, that's why I'm here, like, fucking this, you know? Like, because it really is an anti-state repression movement, and an anti-state movement in general, really, truly a movement for democratic and federalism and direct democracy. And even if people aren't calling it that, and even the democratic socialists that are in this, that's what they fucking want. They just don't know what it's called because they haven't studied enough fucking theory. So it's when, and everybody, I'm like, hey, what about Abdullah Öcalan? You know, hey, I wrote this article and I sent it to him. They're like, oh, that's what I am. I'm like, oh yeah, fucking that's what everybody is if they just read the shit, right? Because that's natural for humanity. It's like, why don't we all make this? That is actual democracy, right? And it's like, private property is a myth. And if people start to get onto that idea and understand that, it is extremely powerful. And when people start to realize that the police are the only thing keeping us from it, that's what's dangerous. And that's why they're so fucking angry and they're murdering people, is because that's what it is, really. It's an anti-state movement, but a peaceful one. We haven't hurt a single motherfucker. Now, the only people that have ever been hurt is by, and look, this is hilarious. Because on the domestic terrorist charges for one of the individuals arrested back in January, you know what it said? It said, juked officer out. Officer broke ankle. Charged with battery on officer. Bro, this motherfucker got his ankles broke. Like, that's what they did. I know Tort didn't have a gun because guess who? And the gun that they say is registered to them, they say they bought it in Florida. Well, guess what? You know, I talk to their mom all the time. I saw their mom today. Where were they? And I also talked to Tort all the time when they were alive. I was like, well, what would happen if there was a raid, you know? Again, like the one back in January, and Tort's exact words, I would never use deadly force in this forest against a police officer. Maybe a fascist, because, I mean, like, you got to protect yourself, and that's a little bit different. But a police officer, they'll literally just go scorched earth and kill everybody. And I care about the people here. I also care about this movement and the image it has as a face. And I will not use deadly force in here. I'd rather put my hands up and get killed a martyr. And what the fuck happened? Where's the bullet? They didn't provide a bullet. They didn't even provide the name of the officer or the size of the entry wound or exit wound that went into that officer, because they knew that it was from a 5.56, which is an AR-15 bullet, which is what the GSP, the Georgia State Patrol, was using when they didn't have any body cameras on. And quite frankly, that is premeditated murder. But anyway, they literally were in a circle around Tortuguita shooting from front and back and shot their own guy with Tortuguita's hands up in that meditation position. If you read the articles that from the independent autopsy that just got released yesterday by his mother, or their mother, I mean, I'm getting mixed up, is my, because his their mother keeps calling them him, you know, their pronouns, preferred pronouns, were it and they. And Tortuguita was completely and, like, fervently against the myth of accepting gender, you know, and was like, no, like, gender literally doesn't exist, and I will live my life to prove that. Like, I am an it, you know. So, and anyway, that is what has been happening here. I'm sorry I'm saying this shit so fast, but I'm still shaking from having that news last night, because it's like, you know that in your head, and, like, it's almost still like a conspiracy theory, though. It's like, you know, I know how the state works. I know what really happened. I know all the intricacies behind this, and I knew this person very well. We've talked about this. I knew that wasn't their gun. Like, I know what happened, but the thing is I didn't have an image in my head. And starting last night, when that article came out, I did. And since then, I've just been shaking. And I mean, you close my eyes and I just see Tortuguita sitting down like Buddha, or with, but instead of the one hand, palm on the heart and the other one, like, up like this, it was just both hands up with a content face. Like, fuck it. Take me, motherfuckers. Make me a martyr. Let's fucking go. Cause they gonna kill him. They gonna kill you anyway. And we all know that now. And, like, what the fuck am I gonna put hands up for? Just give you a clear shot. You know what I mean? And that's literally what it is at this point. And it's what it's always been for people of color, and especially people of color who are LGBT, I mean, who are trans in this nation. But, like, and Tort was both. And also one of the most influential and outspoken people in this entire movement. I don't think that they were targeted specifically, because the cops are too fucking dumb to know how to find where somebody's tent is in that forest, and are also too big of bitches to walk in by themselves or go undercover, because we're too smart. We'd be like, that's obviously a cop, you know? But at the same time, that they know this face, they know this individual, and they know they're extremely influential, and they're like, oh, and Tort's tent was also one of the first ones to the road, because they wanted to be there in the case of a raid. They want to be first because they cared immensely. One of the best individuals I ever met in my entire life, like, dedicated everything to mutual aid. They lived in a tent, gave all that money away. By the end of the day, they would come home and live off of fucking Welch's gummies. I shit you goddamn not. You know, and somebody who has that kind of power and true dedication and love is fucking dangerous. They ran multiple different, they made art and ran multiple different agitprop, like social medias. And it's like, then they got people into the movement and kept people in the movement and fed them and kept them and they kept the movement to a place where it was able to keep people around. You know, it's like, you don't have to have a job. We'll feed you, we'll house you, we'll clothe you, and we'll fucking hang out with you. We'll do everything here. And I'll handle it. You just gotta come. Who the fuck you want to take out first, right? But the word leader is not something that has a place in this movement. There is no leader. The leader itself is the movement for autonomous direct democracy and human rights and anti-police state repression. You know, that is the leader, is defending the forest and stopping Cop City and defending humanity and stopping fascism in the future from a nation state. You know, that is the leader. This is a horizontally organized movement that is disorganized as fuck, but still organized so much because of that. You know, because you don't have this one asshole saying, no, I'm making the shots. And then everybody else is like, that's an asshole. Don't listen to them. You know, this, it, like, there's no not being in this movement or being in it. It's like, everybody is a forest defender. And when we say that, we mean that. You know, it's like, if you care, then you're a fucking forest defender. If you post a meme and you help out, if you retweet something, then you're us. And that's it. You know, it's like, and how the fuck are they going to take down something like that? With no leader. Oh, take me to your leader. What leader? Your leader. Well, we don't have a leader. Well, what do you mean you don't have a leader? That's the fucking neoliberal glitch. You know, the cognitive dissonance kicks in and fucking cops, fucking the state doesn't understand it. And when it comes down to it, they can't repress it very easily because they literally don't understand how it works because they're so programmed with thinking that you need a hierarchy. And when you don't, they just shit the fucking bed. And they're like, wait, that's the one person who says a lot of stuff. Let's kill him. And quite frankly, maybe they shot their boy first and needed a fucking excuse, you know? I mean, especially after this autopsy came out. And it's like, oh, no, you guys have been lying the entire time. They're doing everything in their human power to keep Tortuguita's fucking resilient mother, beautiful woman, from just doing what she's doing. But they couldn't stop her. A woman scorned, a mother scorned will fuck you down. You know, and now I'm here for this movement again, fully. And I realized that's what I was being selfish and I was taking myself from it because it hurt, you know, and it feels so much better to be here present and for this movement, you know, and like able to sit with my thoughts and work through them, sit with my feelings and meditate through them now. And it's allowed me to put myself here for this movement far more. And that's the thing. I think that's a lot of the thing that is this repression and coming at us at our facilities, you know, illegally outside of the bounds of the law. And like locking us out, telling us we can't go in there, saying they have a warrant, but not showing it and just coming in anyway, is intimidation tactics. Quite frankly, the Constitution, I don't believe in it because it's a fucking lie. But I mean, at some point, if they hope, when this movement grows, as it's grown now, because Vice News was there tonight with Tortuguita's mother, you know, like Vice fucking News, right? And New York Times was in the fucking, the forest today. You know, like this is large shit and it's growing larger and larger. So it's a matter of like just getting it out. You know, I'm still amped up and angry. So
I will keep up with you through the night. I'm not sure if you're near phone or how everything is going.
My name is Belkis Terán. I am the mother of Manuel Esteban Páez Terán.
Thank y'all so much for being here.
Oh, absolutely.
Would you like to know why you have the exit sign again?
I know, because his hands, yes, up, and exit wounds.
Manuel, he was called Tortuguita in Willani Forest. Manuel was born in Venezuela. He graduated from Florida State University as a magna cum laude in psychology and sociology.
He came here to honor the life of Tortuguita.
My name is Kiana Jones. I'm a member of the Faith Coalition to Stop Cop City, and I am here to bring awareness to the murder of Manuel Esteban Páez Terán. They were murdered. They were sitting in a meditative position and not firing a firearm at law enforcement officers. I really hope that this will cause the GBI to cooperate with the lawyers for this family and release investigative reports so that we can find out what really happened the day that they were murdered.
In the Willani, he was camping there. He was working there as a community server. He was serving food, he was helping people. I don't know how many troopers, but he got 13 shots.
The police killed more people last year than ever before in U.S. history, recorded 1,176. Cop City will not aid in lowering that number, only dramatically increasing it. I refer specifically to the murder of Tortuguita, whose hands were raised. I truly believe they were unarmed.
Cop City will never be built. As long as I got breath in my body, it ain't gonna happen. Not on my watch.
Now, this is the moment. Now, taking care of ourselves. I am asking all the forest defenders to stick together.
I am the mother of Jarvis Lights, who was murdered by a Georgia State Trooper on December 29, 2017 in Columbus, Georgia, while on his way to work. When I was informed about this gathering today, I was automatically compelled to be here.
Because every day your mind is full of what happened to your child, and you're trying to get answers. And it look like they don't want to give you those answers. But keep pushing, honey. Keep moving forward. Don't stop. Don't stop.
Viva, viva, Tortuguita!
My message to the mayor is, Mayor, please stop going against the will of the people. The people have spoken clearly, and they continue to speak. They don't want Cop City. Please, please, do what you said you would do, and do the best thing for all of Atlanta, especially the people who voted for you. I believe that the movement to stop Cop City will continue to grow as people understand the intersectionality of police repression, overaggression, militarization, and the intersectionality of that with environmental justice and racial segregation as it relates to the environment. I do believe that this movement will continue to grow.
So, can I tell y'all the story about how I met Tortuguita?
Yeah, let's go for it.
So, a buddy of mine and I, who have been pretty deep in, like, anti-fascist action and, like, LGBTQ, POC, community defense type stuff, you know, we were in the forest, but, like, you know, at the time, it was before that first big raid and before things were really escalating. So it was just like, you know, go out for mutual aid, go visit every once in a while, kind of show up for some protests every once in a while. But it really wasn't this huge thing. It was like, it wasn't gaining that much traction, and most people in Atlanta didn't even know about it before January, right? And then after that raid in January, it ramped up. So maybe like back in like September or like early, or like August or something like that, my friend and I started a anti-fascist action, like LGBTQ POC community defense organization. And, like, really, you know, like, just witnessing, like, the coming trans genocide and all this other shit. And, like, you know, like, there's actual Nazis with flags out on the streets and shit, you know, like, would, like, kill trans people.
That specifically is something we talk about internally a lot. Before we even started here, I was talking about, you know, what's coming and what we're likely to see. And that shooting in Colorado, I'm surprised that it was just kind of like a one-off thing. I'm surprised there wasn't a memetic spread from like accelerationists after that shooting.
Well, so back to the story about how I met Tort, right? And I met them like in passing a couple times with like large groups of people that were like kind of helping us organize and do things. And, you know, we did a couple LGBTQ defense things like in Tennessee and like around the Southeast, you know, going out to help people drag story times and stuff like that were being threatened. But I never really connected with Tort like that. And then after the Colorado spread, I mean, I knew them, you know, and I was like, that's a fucking cool person. Like, that is the comrade, and I trust them, you know, just by what they said, their demeanor, and what they were there for, you know, and also knowing, like, you know, I knew enough about Tort, but and we'd spoken and like in passing at these meetings and trainings. But after the Colorado Springs shooting, we went and we, you know, we did like a thing where we were protecting people at a vigil for Colorado Springs shooting. And Tort and I were like, yo, let's partner up and go walk around and sit on corners and wait for Nazis or cops to come through and try to do some dumb shit and just make sure that we're here. And we could be like, the fucking cops and the Nazis are here. Like, what, you know, like, and just let people know and also like be a blockade, right? I'm sure you guys know how AFA works, you know, but the thing is, you know, we're sitting on this corner. So Tort and I are just walking around connecting hard as fuck, right? We're just chilling. I'm like, oh, fuck, cool person. You know, we're talking about democratic federalism and mutual aid and community autonomy and you know, like all the things that we've already talked about here, right? And we're sitting there, and this houseless individual walks by because it's Atlanta, one of the most unhoused areas in the entire United States. This houseless individual walks by, and they're like, hey, y'all got any money? And we're both broke as fuck because we're anarchists and mutual aid movements. We actually care, so we give all our money to it. So, and live off of trading and shit like that. So here we are, but we were lucky and when I say privileged, I mean different levels of intersectional privilege, but privileged enough to have a tent to sleep in and have the choice to sleep in that tent or like have a house that we can go back to. You know what I mean? Well, but this, these individuals weren't, you know? And anyway, so this houseless individual comes by and like, you guys got any money? We're like, no, I mean, if we did, we'd give it to you. But, you know, we do mutual aids like 4 times a week. So, I mean, you can go to this place and get everything you need for like a week and we have like cans of, but they're like, yeah, I'm hungry right now. And Tort's like, oh, you're just hungry? Like, oh, I mean, oh, hold up. Reaches in this little like knapsack thing they used to, like a satchel thing they used to carry around all the place. And it's like maybe like this big, right? Like this, it doesn't look like you could fit a gallon storage baggie in that bitch. Like, fool. So it reaches in, pulls a whole gallon storage baggie of Welch's gummies out and says, yeah, just take it. This houseless individual looks at this Welch's gummies bag. He's like, there's gotta be like 50 in here. And they're like, well, in that case, here, y'all take like 3 for yourselves. More like that, you know? So this, it was, and then right after that, they walk off all happy, chewing on gummies. And Tort turns and looks at me and they go, Welch's gummies, mutual aid, essential. And I'm just like, oh my fucking God, I love this person. You know? So we just connected hard as fuck. And like, there was like a couple Nazis that were obviously there staking it out. And we saw them, and me and Tort were like, went and grabbed some other folks and we chased them off. But like, you know, nothing really crazy happened. But then after that, we got really close. You know, I just started going out of the forest to hang out with Tort, you know? And like, we just hung out all the time and we talk about all of this shit. Like, we were homies. Like, and Tort knew Aikido and would like lead Aikido classes and stuff like that. But like, quite frankly, like Tort put me onto it. They were like, all right, just come to one training, just come to one class. And I was like, all right, I'll come to a class. And they were like, and honestly, this is pretty fucking cool. Like, I mean, I'm not one that was really just about practical self-defense. Do what you got to do to get your gun out and put into this motherfucker and be like, yo, move. Dare you, you know, like that is self-defense in our modern age. Bottom line. Cause I mean, like, I'm not going to fight you if I'm just, like, trying to prove my manlyhood because I'm fucking non-binary, right? Like, I don't give a fuck about these social constructs and the things that are attached to them. I give a fuck about protecting people, and that's it. If you're gonna get into a fight, even if it is for your own, like, all right, boys, you know, and everybody is being, like, with the rules, and it's just, like, only good blows, nothing below the waist kind of shit, you know? Like, we're gonna call it when somebody starts getting hurt. You can still get hit the wrong way and murdered. Like, it's manslaughter. I mean, people, that happens to people all the time. They get hit in the ear and the temple and they fucking die.
Talking about challenging and manliness and things like that, I just wanted to say this is why, you know, women's liberation is at the center of democratic confederalism, because the first hierarchy is the hierarchy between men and women. And these people who, you know, have their egos frail and need to challenge people and things like that, it all comes down to being a man and showing manliness, and it all comes back to that original hierarchy.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it, like, after reading like social ecology of democracy, of the social ecology of freedom, which is also a book by Ochelon, it's literally, it's pointing out that like democratic confederalism and the entire ideology is based upon the fact that the first human hierarchy was man over woman, and that is the essentially the root of the state, which is the root of all modern hierarchy, right? Like,
to criticize Marx is that his class analysis was incomplete. Eugenics philosophy is like, we need to eliminate these people because they're different from our culture. So Marx's solution was a well-actually solution where he just eliminated culture instead of the people, but it resulted in genocide still. And he comes from Robespierre, who invented state terror. Both of these ideas come to the incomplete class analysis because they were unable to realize that at the center of inequality, it's actually men and women. You have to kill the idea of having the dominant man.
Yes, and then in Social Ecology of Freedom, it's very blended with Murray Bookchin's ideologies and with all of democratic federalism is. It's pretty much increased form of direct democracy, confederal, grassroots social ecology that can be scaled anti-imperialistically through voting in communes, right? The communes voting in themselves, right? Well, but the thing is like, with the social ecology flavor in the Social Ecology of Freedom, Ajlan goes into the fact that, like, yes, the original human hierarchy is the ascriptive male, like, sex on the spectrum, right? And then the ascriptive female sex that is on that end of the spectrum and identifies with it, right? But that's the thing, and not even identifies with it, but is forced to identify with it due to cultures, right? But the thing is that is not the original hierarchy. The original hierarchy is human beings over other animals in the earth, which we are all one huge organism that literally is all attached. And like, it's that recognition primarily is the recognition of social ecology. And then the recognition that the human hierarchy originally is the falsity, is really just gender. It is gender. It is like this, the gender even exists when it doesn't. You know, it is literally all a spectrum. And even sex is a spectrum. You know, chromosomes, no human being has, like, no man, quote unquote, has the same amount of chromosomes that another man does, right? And they're fluctuating on some level. They have something similar and a little bit closer or a little bit further away than being chromosomally a woman, right? And everybody is on that spectrum sexually, right? Gender is literally a social construct to help identify that. And it's then therefore literally fade. And it, just like the money in the fucking Fed, right? It's something that just exists there. And I think that is extremely powerful. And that's why Tort called themselves it. I wanted to be called it because they're like, that is the main source of oppression. Like, quite frankly, you know, Tort loved democratic federalism. I mean, and that's the problem. It's traditionalism rooted in identity to something that is a social construct in the first place. And the social construct created to justify hierarchy, you know? And I've never seen somebody put it as well as Ajlan. I mean, like Marcos, Supercomandante Marcos is extremely intelligent, probably one of the best theorists that I've ever read, you know, and I've read a lot of them. It's still the best I've ever seen and the most just, I mean, what else are you going to do when you've been in a fucking solitary confinement, one person prison with 600 guards on a fucking island with nothing to do for fucking since 1999? That's where Ajlan has been, right? And you can release one letter a month, right? What the fuck are you going to do other than write some fucking hard ass books to save your people? You know, and really, really think and be able to deconstruct this shit and be like, you know what? I've been away from it for so long. I now see that gender is literally a construct. All this is, you know, like, because you're not sitting here being subjected to the propaganda and society. You're just in a cell with your own fucking thoughts. And as somebody who came in, you know, this isn't fucking, what's his name? The fucking asshole that's in jail right now, the fucking pedophile, Andrew Tate. Sitting in jail. This is somebody who came into jail who came into prison really and was solitarily confined with a terrific ideology in the first place as an authoritarian communist, a Marxist Leninist, so authoritarian, but with really democratic flavors, right? And really trying to do it for the people, but that's all anybody really knew at the time. But then also being subjected and like being able to witness the Zapatistas in 1994 until 1999 and be like, yo, this works. This works. Why do we need a transition?
The fall of the Soviet Union was a huge influence on changing from the Marxist-Leninist ideals he originally had.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. That between the Zapatista movement, right? It's like, yo, if we, like, the Zapatistas were successful because they said, this is ours. We all democratically voted for it. And if you come in and try to say we didn't, you aren't democratic. And then when the U.S. government and the Mexican government try to do that, like, fucking FEMA and and the UN and everybody else was there. And they were like, and all these reporters were there. And they're like, wait, hold on. Like, the whole world is watching and they will rise the fuck up because this is democracy, you know? And like, you're going to have protests all over in your place. And like, is it really worth it for these bunch of fucking indigenous people in Mexico? And then, quite frankly, it really was, because those indigenous people in Mexico, in central Mexico, in the middle of nowhere in the jungle, in La Selva, right? They set an example for the entire fucking world like it had never been set before. I mean, the CNT kind of did it in Spain, but I mean, that was still kind of really high, you know, hierarchical and a little bit like, there's still some like, state communism is essentially fiscally the exact same thing. I mean, state capital is state capitalism. It's the exact same thing as neoliberalism with a different fucking name.
To be an anarchist is not to respect authority?
No, I think to be an anarchist is to be critical of authority and to always examine
where authority is just by definition.
Well, no, to always examine authority critically to see if it's legitimate.
Yeah.
And I think there are forms of authority that are legitimate, but you don't worship authority as a thing in itself.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, take, I like the notion of self-subverting authority. I think there are certain types of authority which undermine their own basis, and I think those are very good, like a teacher. If you're a teacher and you teach someone very well, they know what you used to know, so there's no further basis for your authority. What I think anarchists have problems with are relationships where one person is always subordinate.
I mean, so anyway, I'm gonna get this story about Tor, right? So yeah, we really get tight. And that's, you know, I'm out here visiting them in the forest and shit, and like, and they're teaching me some Aikido and really just a lot of stuff, like really mutual aid. Tor taught me so much about mutual aid. And I thought I knew about it a lot. I mean, I've been doing this shit for a minute, but like, it's insane how fucking good at mutual aid Tor was. Like, they would be navigating and like getting people from across the country funds to get here. And at the same, like, you know, and like tallying up the math and the numbers and being like, oh, okay, this person needs this much because it's going to cost that much for gas for them, you know? And then be like, okay, to get from Arizona, if you go to this place in that direction and do the fucking whole route for them. And then be like, okay, I'm going to send them that much. Now I'm going to save this much for mutual aid and the dinner that we're going to do on Saturday. And we have to have dinner and breakfast and lunch every day for the people in the forest. So this is going to, you know what I mean? And they're just giving up all this shit all the time, like a fucking genius, which they were, right? And also a just phenomenal human being, right? Because they knew that that was the main thing that was keeping the movement alive. The fact that people could quit their fucking day job and come live in an anarcho-socialist commune in the goddamn forest, which is literally what it was and still is, quite frankly, you know? And that's, it literally already is democratic confederalism in the forest. And in Atlanta, in the areas, you know, you think about like, there's democratic confederalist villages and cities that are in southern Turkey, right? And they consider themselves democratic confederalists and they organize that way, right? But they're still in Turkey, right? But they connect and they try to speak with Rojava as much as possible, even though there's the state repression from Turkey, right? But they organize that way. And when you think about it that way, it's like, you think about like Rojava is equivalent and analogous to the forest of Wilani Forest, right? And Wilani People's Park. And that's where Rojava is in this sense, right? It is the original anarcho, like socialist, like democratic confederalist area, which is there's control over because we are occupying it, and that's all you have to do, right? But and then when people leave and they have their houses right down the road, or they have these different places in Atlanta where they go do this, it's like the villages in Turkey that are like, yo, we're still that same shit, and we're still organizing the same way, and we're still going to go right back to the same place, but we got to do it out here, you know? And that's really powerful, and it's really fucking terrifying for the U.S. government, because one, we're normalizing the fuck out of this, and there's nothing they can do to stop it, because they try to bring RICO charges on us, right? But it's like, how can you bring RICO on somebody who hasn't spent any money? We just, like, shared it amongst ourselves. It's like, oh, yeah, well, racketeering. Racketeering with what? The fucking, like, tacos I just made for everybody? Fuck off. What am I racketeering? I don't, like, no money has been profited here. Like, people give us money and then we eat it or we put it towards this and like living here, you know, like that's it. What racketeering, you know, like we're not making like large scales of money. Like, and most of it, there's no money in general. It's like just trade, like Cambalacheras type stuff. Like there's, you know, like for like, just like the Zapatistas, that's pretty much the organizational economic barter system. And it's like, you can't police that. You can't fucking stop it when there's one person with a phone that can get people from around the world to realize, come here, live anarcho-communist. And they're like, oh shit, guess that fucking works. Why don't I just quit my day job and go be here for this anti-state movement that's like probably the biggest thing ever and be on the right side. Actually, no, sure, I should say be on the left side of history, You know, one does not have to get in front of it. One just has to create blockchain and be like, this is our democratic system, direct democracy. And if it changes at all, we instantly know. And it's like, okay, well, this is our system and you can't fuck with it, you know, and it can't be changed. It's like, this is direct democracy forever, you know, until the hexadecimal number runs out, and then we just fucking recreate it, you know. And it's like, and then maybe like add whatever updates we needed to, but like, quite frankly, it's like, and that can be done by at the end of that hexadecimal number on the last vote, be like, okay, we are all going to vote democratically directly on what the updates are going to be the next hexadecimal number, you know. And it's like, that is direct democracy in technological form, and it cannot be infringed. It cannot. And if it is, then your hexadecimal number changes and you're like, who the fuck with this, you know? And it's like, and that's, they're doing that on some scales in Rojava, but not with blockchain, but like with apps and shit. But I mean,
because we already have a system in place to create independent nations with inside America, it's really not that impractical, especially when you have people who are from the land originally involved with the movement.
Yes, yes, yes. When the Muskogee Creek peoples come and say, we're evicting you from our land. It's like, and they have a bunch of people who are fucking happy to torch cop cars. Like, what are you gonna do, dude? Like, what are you gonna fucking do? You know what I mean? And like, know how to take care of themselves outside of your system. It's like, we can take care of ourselves completely and truly. We don't need you. Like, and we're doing it right now. And it's terrifying for them. And they will literally execute people in cold blood because of it. You know, and that's what they did to Tortuguita.
Also, going back to America, America is actually built on a confederalist system. Confederalist is not a new idea. And it was the most common government policy in the Americas before they were colonized.
Yeah, but it wasn't through direct democracy, grassroots, anti-hierarchy.
No, it wasn't. But also, like, roads didn't exist.
Yeah, facts.
So the Iroquois were a representative democracy, and that's where America got the idea from, but they were also a confederacy. The only issue with it is that the actual confederacy of the South in the Civil War really tarnished the word a lot, the way communism has kind of been tarnished.
Yeah. That's why I love Ocalan for creating the word confederalism. And I fucking hate it when you type it in on a computer and it's like, autocorrect, not a word. And I'm like, fuck you, this is a word, AI, figure it the fuck out. It's like, confederalism is a goddamn word, stop correcting it.
That's why I call myself an internationalist as well, because it just goes over much better, because if people understand what confederalism is, they already understand what internationalism is, because the internationalists are a huge part of the revolution over there. It goes over way better that way.
If we don't stop Cobb City in Atlanta and defend the forest and get justice for Tortuguita, then, which we will, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, we will. And we already are right now, you know, like this end game, this linear timeline that people are so hooked to looking upon. It's like, no, we have justice. We have an anarcho-socialist commune in Atlanta right now. We have anarcho, like, socialism and direct democracy and democratic and federalism in Atlanta right now. We are literally living off of each other through mutual aid, and anybody can. And the more people who move here and support it and move here and dedicate themselves to it, the stronger it becomes. And all you have to do that is show the fuck up. And that is the most powerful thing about this. Okay. And if you don't have the money to show up, hit somebody up that's on it on Twitter. Hit me the fuck up. Hit me up and I will get you in touch with people and organizations that will get you money to come here and help you with travel funds. And then once you get here, have you a tent, get you all the things you need, or have you lodging, you know? And that's if you're willing to put yourself out there in the forest, you know? But if not, somebody will find you lodging and you will be able to be here and be here for this movement and be a part of this. And every single day, breakfast, dinner, lunch, dinner, everything we fucking need is here, and we're taking care of each other, you know? And that is democratic and federalist, anarcho-socialism, anarcho-syndicalism, all mixed, right? It's neo-Zapatismo. So it is happening now. And if we don't stop this, we are going to lose the opportunity forever, because the police state repression tactics against protesters and against movements of this sort is exactly what they're going to have this facility for. And they're going to be trained by the Israeli Defense Force, who's the best in the world at police state repression. That's why they're going to be trained by them when they have a contract. You can look that up. It's in fucking fine print. Anybody can read it. Israeli Defense Force has a contract with the Atlanta Police Department. And then this is where the police who killed Tyree Nichols were trained. Even though it was in a different state completely, they were trained here in Atlanta already, and there isn't even a training facility yet. So just think about that. Like, this will stop. This will set the biggest precedent for abolishing the police and the need to. Making the police look as weak as they did on Sunday. No, but like, that's the thing. In that one video, they're literally running away. I might have been there, might have not have been there. I don't know what happened anyway. So on Sunday, when they're literally running away in that video, that's all I saw. So they're running in front of that tractor, and then the video pans out and zooms back and looks to the left, and there's like 150 people in black chasing them, right? Those are the criminals you speak of, and the police can't fucking do shit. They're not there for it. They're fucking dicks, right? Not pussies, dicks, right? And the thing is they literally are running away in fear and being chased away by people with fireworks, right? And thinking that they are, and then nothing else, no guns, nothing, just fireworks. And they're like, oh my God, people in black, ninjas, let's run away. Ah, right. So the thing is then they go, and just because of that, we get them to go and hit the fucking music festival where people are tripping and hanging out. And there's like 400 actual literal children that are under like 10 in a bouncy house, right? And they go in and SWAT stacks up on a bouncy house. Ready, clear. And they all go in and clear the fucking bouncy house, and we get it on film. That's why these tactics work, right? It's because, and then you have Unicorn right there with a headline. We're here now, and we Lonnie Forrest, and SWAT just cleared a bouncy house. Do you understand the ridiculousness of this? They tackled a woman, a grown woman who had their child in their arms, like a four-year-old in their arms, and they tear gassed her, and she's like, oh my God, and the baby's like freaking out and crying. They tear gassed the fucking baby, and then they tackled the grown woman with the baby in her arms. On live camera. It's like, you when this shit is happening, because you scare them so much that they're like, we're damn sure not going to fight those scary antifers, you know, and their fireworks. We're terrified of that. And they say, y'all be missing me. Go terrified of these criminals that they have to go and target literal children and clear a fucking bouncy house to look cool. Look at our cool clearing tactics. And that is how you get those motherfuckers. You make the world see how ridiculous the entire idea and essence of having police is, because it's the weakest, bitchiest motherfuckers that exist that get into that role, and they're not there to protect anybody other than themselves and work their job, because they're submitting to authority and oppression just to do it. And you respect those people to protect you from authority and oppression. No, who's going to do that? The people who are out here and don't have to be. Because they're the ones that are actually here for it. And that's all I want people to leave on. You know, justice for Tortuguita, to defend the forest, stop Cop City. Tortuga vive, la lucha sigue. We will fucking win.
If they do a huge crackdown and completely just try to crush the movement,
here we are in the Frog Palace.
They'll succeed at, you know, hurting some people. They'll succeed at destroying some infrastructure, but they're not going to succeed at stopping the movement.
Yeah, their strategy is essentially to just demoralize us, to destroy our resources, stomp on our food, stomp on our medical supplies.
Sure, they could come in and they could, like, completely destroy the place, raise it.
I'm here specifically because I think it's a really important cause, and I think it's an intersection between climate change and police brutality.
Arrest everybody that they find, just guns blazing, kill anybody who resists arrest. They could do that. Days later, there would be a shitload of people back there. There would be different people. There would be more. More would come.
We are all for independence! We are all for independence!
More would come back to avenge the arrested. And that would have repercussions.
Now. This is the moment. Now.
And the repercussions there might be very, very spread out.
It is unacceptable that Emory called the Atlanta Police Department on its own students.
this repercussion might be in every single fucking interstate in Atlanta. What happens then?
Given their history of violence, mobilizing the APD against Emory students is a far greater concern to safety than that posed by our occupation of the quad.
But they're not going to succeed at stopping the movement. That's just going to strengthen the movement.
And we all have to stay together and stay resilient to fight for what we believe in and never let Torch Memory go without honor.